you can bow your heads. Just want to open up with a word of prayer. Father, we give you the glory today, Lord. We want this place filled, Father, just like the three of us prayed this morning. We want this place filled with your glory, Father. We want the train of your robe going right down this aisle, Lord, like it did in Isaiah's time, Father. And Lord, we just give you the glory, Lord. We ask you to bless us today, Father. We want to magnify your name. Father, we pray for the children that are in the back and for the teens that are back there, you know, spending time with them. Lord, it's exciting to see that, Father. Just people coming together, Lord. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Before I started, when I came in today, I saw Candy, and the first thing I said was, did Pete come home? Because I didn't see Pete, even though I walked right by him. And I saw the smile on Candy's face, and then I lost it. So, Pete, it's great to have you home. Serious. I'm sitting over here singing, you know, thinking about, I can't imagine what you've seen, you know, overseas. I can't imagine what it's like over there. We're so blessed to be in this nation, but it's people like Pete that, you know, serve, and so we can have freedom here to come together, to worship, to love on each other, to share the truth with each other, to pray for one another. I get to talk about peace today. There's still a verse that's been hanging on me from last week, and that's the Romans, forget where it is at now, 5:8, I guess. First Peter 1:8. Though you don't see him, you believe in him. And even though you don't see him now, you rejoice. You know, you rejoice. Let me look in the book so I can get it right. Praise God. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. That's a great verse. Inexpressible and glorious joy. And that's what I get when I come before you and I get to share God's word with you. And I spend all week just, you know, in my office, just listening to music and allowing the Spirit just to pour into me the things that he wants me to say. And it's an inexpressible and glorious joy to be here. I thought about these three symbols, and maybe he's going to put it. There's three symbols there. Their three images are very different, but they all are very recognizable as signs of peace. Think about it. Interestingly, not one of them was developed out of an abundance of peace, but rather out of a need for peace. Think about it. What we know is the peace sign was first developed by a British artist and activist named Gerald Holtham in 1958. I tried to look up what this thing was all about. The two fingers raised in a V shape, this symbol actually started as a sign of victory, not peace. Resistant fighters in the German occupied territories used it as a symbol of strength during World War II. The British Prime Minister Winston Churchill adopted it to stand for the English victory, and it eventually came to stand for at the end of the conflict. Later in the 1960s, when I was a teenager, look out. It was adopted as an anti-war symbol by Americans who opposed war. That's what it was all about. Then you see that dove, the dove with the olive branch. This image was used in many traditions throughout history, but the Christian symbolism of that comes from the Old Testament account of Noah, who sent a dove and searched the land after the great flood, and the dove returned holding an olive branch, indicating that the waters were receding and that the land was near. It was a sign of the promise of peace after the storm of God's judgment. When we immediately associate peace with these symbols, none were born out of peace. All these images came about because of the desperate need for peace in the midst of conflict and unrest. Peace is defined as a freedom from disturbance, quiet, and tranquility. But it's often in situations that are exactly the opposite that we most recognize our need for peace and the power of peace that God provides for us. And you're listening, God, I put, we see peace most clearly, not in the absence of noise or suffering and in conflict, but in the midst of it. This is the world that Jesus came to. The song that the band sang today, Silent Night, conjures up a calm and soothing and peaceful image in our mind. And it's often a worshipful 3-minute relief in the midst of our hectic holiday preparations. But that original Silent Night was not actually very silent. When you search the scriptures, you find out the world was not at peace. There was a divide between God and people. There was a conflict among families and nations. There was a political uproar and the Roman oppression in Israel. And there was a demanding physical travel forced on Mary and Joseph by Roman politicians. And there was unrest in the hearts of many. But in the midst of it all, when you think about it, when you study the Gospels, Jesus came as the Prince of Peace. Jesus, the Messiah, was and is many things that the prophet Isaiah foretold would be. Isaiah 9:6, For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor and Mighty God and Everlasting Father and Prince of Peace. But it's most important to remember this morning that Jesus is not just a symbol of peace, he is peace. And the Prince of Peace offers us the gift of peace in this Advent season. This was part of the original birth announcement made by the angels. When you look at Luke 2:13 and 14, it says, suddenly a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, heaven and earth, peace on whom his favor rests. And if you've been able to join us the last 3 weeks, you know that we've been on a journey together through the season of Advent as we've unwrapped the gifts of hope and then love and then last week joy. The word of Advent means coming or arrival. And the season is marked by expectation. It's marked by waiting and anticipation and longing. Advent offers us the opportunity to share together as a family in the ancient longing for the coming of the Messiah, to celebrate his birth, to be alert for his second coming. And during the Advent, we light candles on the wreath, which represents an aspect of Jesus' coming to a world that's lost in darkness. And as we celebrate our own Advent wreaths that we have here this season, we light an additional candle each week. And each light brings us closer to the arrival of the true light of the world born in Bethlehem. And I hope you feel the excitement building, because next Saturday night, Christmas Eve, we're almost there, and soon we'll mark the day that Jesus has come. He is among us and with us, Emmanuel, God with us. And today we'll light our fourth candle, the candle of peace. And I thought I would bring up Eric and Melissa Koufax to light them today. Since the first week, I had Mitchell come up and he looked at me like this, right in the eye, and pushed the thing. It was so cute. So I would like the beautiful parents, Eric and Melissa, to come up and push the light down. Let's hear it. Praise God. Yeah. She tried to mess with me, man. Oh, wow. Praise God. If it falls down. Praise God. Thank you. Advent is a season for allowing God's peace, listen now, to infiltrate our hearts and minds as we prepare for his coming at Christmas and his return someday. What appropriate time it is and a season to recognize Jesus as our peace. Really, our world is not much different from the one that Jesus stepped into a couple thousand years ago. You think about today, we're certainly more technologically advanced, but our fast pace and our high-tech capabilities in many ways have added to anxiety and stress and fatigue at the relentless pace of life. And the scenery and the process of daily life looks very different than back when Jesus was born, but still, there are many today who strive and struggle to survive and exist. Our world rages with wars and violence. Governments and politicians rage and clamor. While we certainly have so much to be thankful for in our lives, in our community, and in our great country, peace can and does easily get squeezed out of our ongoing lives easily and often. Think about this. Have you ever been somewhere that suddenly got very quiet? Perhaps you've been in a building when the electricity goes out and the buzz of the lights and the computers and appliances is silenced. Or maybe you've been outdoors on a summer night when the song of the crickets stop abruptly. Sometimes we don't even recognize the noise all around us until something stops and then we hear the silence. The same can be true for peace in our lives. Sometimes we're so used to the hustle and bustle that we don't even notice the noise, the chaos, the unrest until it's gone. Until we take the time to experience peace and allow God to silence other noises in our life. During this Advent, we're recognizing a season that helps us take the time to reset our hearts, reset our minds to be still and listen as we wait. Peace is a gift that we unwrap today. So let us look at several ways that peace manifests itself in our lives. The first one is peace with God. And I'm sure you've been driving along the highway and you'll see a bumper sticker that looks like that. You've probably seen it maybe placed on the back of a car. It can sound trite and cliche. No God, no peace. No God, no peace. But there's actually truth in that. When we know God, we can experience peace because of who Christ is and what He did in coming to earth, living among us, dying on the cross, and resurrecting to defeat sin and death. There's the gospel right there in that sentence. It's easy for us to associate His life and work on earth with salvation, but the Apostle Paul made an important note in Romans that we are wise not to overlook. And that's in Romans 5, 1 and 2. He said this, "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand." Look at that verse. It's beautiful. We have been justified. We have peace. We have gained access. And we now stand. And how does that happen? Through faith, by faith, because of Christ. So Jesus brings and allows us peace with God, our Creator. And our first and greatest need for peace is to be at peace with God. That's the number one thing. Because our sin naturally separates us from God. From the time sin entered into the world in the Garden of Eden, humans have been at odds with God. Our sin and His holiness are not compatible. They are not at peace. They are at conflict with each other. That's why no conflict on earth can compare to this need for peace between God and His creation. Us humans especially, it's the reason God sent Jesus to earth that first Christmas. Through Jesus, we can be justified when you look at those verses. By grace, through faith, and when we believe in Jesus and accept His salvation and forgiveness, we are at peace with God. That's something to come to church for every week. That's something to get into the Word every day. That's something to lift up your needs and pray to the Lord. The barriers of conflict of sin are removed, and we are right with Him in unity. And we must abide and return. We belong to God and Christ. We are unified with Him. We are His. Many, may we all lean on and experience the peace of this reality throughout the Advent and beyond. Number two, peace within. As I mentioned earlier, there's so much to draw us or drag us away from the peace of God. Fortunately, God knows the unrest that we feel within ourselves today. He made you and He knows your deepest thoughts, your hurts, your joys, your desires. He knows you need peace. He knows the broken world surrounding us and all the unrest clamoring around and against us. Paul offered these appropriate words, and I thought about this because Eric Koufax spoke on this earlier this year. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition and thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. That's why we have an altar call here every week. That's why we open up this altar, so that you can present your request to God. Present your petition with Him and thanksgiving to Him. So what a beautiful promise in those two verses. What a rich practice we can do. What a powerful peace that we can experience. When you think about the phrases, God's peace transcends all understanding. It defies our world and our circumstance. And it fills us. His peace fills us with everything going on around us. It's not conduit in peace. In other words, it shows itself most strongly in circumstances where peace just does not make sense. Maybe that's a tragedy or illness or a conflict or a heartache. No matter how bad your situation, God is there with you, offering the gift of peace that is stronger than whatever difficulty you face. Friday when I was here and the school was here, there's a young man that came into my office, and his name is Benjamin. He goes to the school here. And I met him after the death of that young son of the Legg family in that car accident. And he came into my office the other day. Benjamin, how you doing? You know, you need a lollipop? You know, praise God. And I said, Benjamin, what's the one thing that you want this Christmas? And he looked me right in the eye to see Samuel again. That melted me. I mean, that melted me. There's a young man, I'm not sure what grade he's in, but he has such a heart for the things of God, and he loves that family. And I know his family is friends with the Legg family, but that moved me. And when you have those heartaches or those tragedies or the illness or the conflict, you have to go to Christ, because He gives us that gift of peace. His peace is stronger than whatever difficulty you face. Notice, too, that while this peace is calm and restorative, it's also strong and active. It has the power to guard your hearts and mind in Christ Jesus. It is strong enough to defy our worst nightmares. And the one thing that's interesting about those two verses in Philippians 4, that verse is, we often take it maybe as a type of formula, but if we can just imagine to pray or manage to pray and think, thank God and ask Him about everything, then we'll get God's peace. While Paul was describing those actions as part of the practice of peace, we should remember that it's just not an automatic formula. We must remember that God gave the gift of peace in the form of a person. His name is Jesus, and He's called the Prince of Peace. The verse just before that passage, those verses in Philippians 4:4-5, it says, the Lord is near. And that's an important starting point. Jesus present with us is the reason we do not need to be anxious in this season. He is the reason we have peace within. He's Emmanuel. He's God with us. He offers us the gift of peace beyond understanding, that guards our hearts and minds in Him. And as we practice the actions of prayer and petition and thanksgiving, we do so, why? To connect with Him. Peace comes as a result of the transformation we experience as the Holy Spirit shapes our perspective and realigns our heart. I love that so much. Let's read it together. Peace comes as a result of the transformation we experience as the Holy Spirit shapes our perspective and realigns our hearts. I'm telling you, you might walk out of here today and your troubles may rage on. But the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, will give us new eyes to see. And the peace of Christ guards us and calms us and changes our outlook on whatever's going on. May this be the practice and power of peace that we experience in the Advent and beyond. The last thing I want to talk to you about is peace to come. So we've looked together so far at peace with God and peace within. So what about peace without? What about the situations we can't change? What about the relationships that are broken? What about the chaos that we can't calm? The hurt we can't heal? The violence we can't understand? What do we do with the need for peace in our world? And this again is where we recognize that two-pronged nature of the Advent season. That we wait for Christ coming at Christmas, and at the same time, we're longing for and waiting for His return. That peace we long for in our world is a peace that is still to come. It's a final restoration promise, maybe not yet realized. In the meantime, we wait and we're longing for that day as believers when God's peace will reign on earth. And until then, we can turn to the words that Jesus spoke to His disciples. We can hold on to them in this season closely until we see Him face to face. He said it in John 16:33 in the upper room with His disciples. He looked at them and said, "I have told you these things so that in Me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." It's a great verse. Again, we see God's recognition of the brokenness that we currently live in and we live among. He knows, He understands how and why we can become discouraged. But here He encourages us to remember the person of peace, the Prince of Peace. In Him we have and find and remember the peace for our present and in our future. I came today to tell you that there's a peace today, that there's a complete peace that is yet to come. In the time between, we trust Christ's promises that He has indeed overcome the world. And in the meantime, we return to Jesus. It's a similar process to what Paul described in Philippians 4. It's a continual returning and renewing with the Lord our God. It's a deepening of our relationship with Him. And it shapes us and it holds us and carries us to all that we are and all that we can experience for Him. Where's your chaos today? Where is your warfare and your unrest? Let me encourage you that the Prince of Peace is greater. His peace is more powerful. There's a peace that I long for. And as we celebrate the Advent season of waiting, let's recognize that we all wait with longing for God's peace to be made perfect in our world. Let us also remember that the peace of Christ is also here and now, and waiting for all to fill us all. Let's bow our heads and pray. God, thank You that in this season of Advent that we can unwrap Your gift of peace. Help us to live in that peace You provided through Your Son Jesus. Help us to rest in that peace that You give us in the midst of life, and trust in the peace of knowing that You have overcome the world. Fill us, Lord. Hold us with Your peace as we encounter You and experience the depth and riches of life You provide both now and forever. There's a verse in 2 Thessalonians that says this: "Now may the Lord of peace Himself give you peace at all times and in every way. The Lord be with you all." Praise God. Amen. Ushers, if you want to come forward, we're going to pray and take an offering. And I thought about, you know, next Saturday night is Christmas Eve. How many people can you invite to come to our Christmas Eve service? A lot of people, they'll come Christmas Eve, they'll come Easter, back on the table. And probably in your listening, guys, was an invitation. Also, if you want to go around and hang these things on people's doors, like the youth did a couple Wednesday nights ago, inviting people to come. They're back on the table. If you didn't get a gift of Christmas book, please take one. Have great devotions in there. Let's pray. Father, I just give You the glory today, Lord. Ask You to bless our offering. Thank You for everything You've done at this church this year, Lord. At the end of the year, we start thinking about, you know, all the things that went on this year, all the blessings that were bestowed upon our church and our church family. Father, thank you for bringing Pete back here, Lord. Thank you for all those who are over there serving. Some of them might not come back, Father. And Father, I just pray for just a protection, Lord. Help us to remember to pray for those who are serving for the freedom of our nation, Father. Father, I lift up this offering to you, Lord. And Father, I give you the glory. Father, I pray that there are people here that are thinking about their neighbors or people that they know who don't attend church, who don't know about God, maybe don't believe in God, maybe never heard the gospel shared. But Father, we're going to share the gospel here on Christmas Eve. Father, we're going to worship you on Christmas Eve. Father, we're going to light candles for you to just to move upon this place and move upon this sanctuary and move upon people's hearts. Father, I pray that you'll be knocking on many doors of people's hearts, and you might be doing that right now today, Lord. And I pray that that will happen Christmas Eve as well. And I give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.